The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
There's this thing I've been dragging behind me. Seems to weigh about 100 pounds. You could call it extra baggage. All I know is that it slows me down. I feel like I'm in arrears. So I must be. But for what? But why? But how? But when? But what if? And but. I want to get rid of my butt.
Leave the dirty laundry in a pile, along with the annoying reasons why you don't do the things you'd really like to, as you reduce your butt. That's one T, not two T's. Join Gene Ketchum and C. Suzanne Bates right now on Aging But Dangerous Sizzle. They're smoking hot.
Good morning. This is Gene Ketchum.
And I'm C. Suzanne Bates.
What do we have on our show today, Suzanne?
Today, our first segment is always Dirty Little Secrets.
Which we love.
We love those little, and they're really not dirty. So if you're in your car, some of them are. Well, not really that dirty. I mean, you want to get dirty? I'll tell you, we can do that. So, but the first one is how to deal with chronic crying. So, men, if you're listening, do not go away, because if your wife is a chronic crier, you are going to love this information. And then there's a new museum in Minneapolis that really is an important part of who we are and our country and ourselves. And we're going to learn a little bit about that from the founder. And We have some insight. Now, that's a secret. We've got the inside scoop there.
And we also have a dating website that pairs people by their food preferences. It is so interesting, and I think so true.
The White Castle dating service? Is that what you're trying to say?
Could be. Then we are moving to our Snoop and Scoop interview. And today we have Mary Beatty from the Beatty Group. She's with Edina Realty, and she is going to be talking about your digs and should we buy, should we sell, or should we rent?
Right. Or should we pitch a tent?
There you go.
There's probably not in Minnesota. I think that would be really hard to do that in Minnesota. But I will have to say, when I first moved here, I knew this woman, and she had a friend that came to visit her from like Georgia or something. And she looked at all those ice fishing houses. I still don't know what they are. And she says, "Mama, where do those poor people live in the summertime?" She thought it was like a ghetto or something.
Oh, I thought
that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard.
That is funny. So, I've never heard that story from you.
But Mary's really an excellent realtor.
And our sponsor.
And one of our sponsors. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll finish up with a little review of our last Aging But Dangerous event, which was last night, and it was awesome. And then how you can win fabulous prizes in our two contests. And actually, it's three contests. We keep saying two, but it's three contests. And then on to Senior Triathlons. Aging
Woo.
But Dangerous wants to sponsor a female triathlon team. And the question is, are you people out there, is anyone ready for that challenge? That's the question.
Yep. And I'm sure we've got them out there. And if you're wondering what Aging But Dangerous is all about, then go to our website, agingbutdangerous.com, and check us out. The question today is, do you think that women start walking slower as they age? Do you think it's because they're getting older that they walk slower?
I think it's because they begin to be more cautious. I mean, I think that it's... But could you have asked that question any more slowly? What, were you just like getting into crawl?
Well,
were you crawling through that?
The answer to that is they have too much fat around their thighs. There was a survey done in Madison that tested all kinds of women, tons of women, and it was like as they're aging, that is what is causing them to walk slower. Not necessarily, you know, fat, but that's where it's gathering as you age. So...
Thunder thighs.
50 and over.
All right. I won't even get into that. I could just go off on that topic. But anyway, how to deal with chronic crying. Chronic crying is something that is, I don't know that it's a problem for anybody for us. But I have a friend who's a chronic crier, and she just cannot help herself. And people don't take her seriously because she wells up at things that really are not exactly what would put anyone else into tears. So when people say that, oh, it's okay, just let it out, that's not really a good thing, because people perceive chronic crying as manipulative, especially in business. It really is. It really connotes a sign of weakness.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah. And so there have been a lot of studies about chronic crying. And Helen Fisher, who is an anthropologist and PhD at Rutgers, she says that once someone cries, I'm reading this, it's a direct quote, once someone cries, the playing field is no longer level. With their testosterone once reduced, men feel empathy when perhaps what they wanted to do was get angry. So when women cry, there is a response in men that it reduces their testosterone. I wish I'd known that. I would have been crying a whole lot more than I've been crying all these years. So the question is, how do you stop? And some people like pinch the bridge of their nose. That was one of the suggestions. But then there was a psychologist in New York City who is actually a cognitive and behavioral psychologist that deals with people and these kinds of things. And he says that it's really not what the person's saying to you, but that it's how you're interpreting it, that it's that it's really not reality is what he's saying, that it's your reality, but not the real reality. So what he's saying is that you need to change that. You need to step back from that. And then there was research at Rutgers that said that if you had a smile on your face and you went into something with that attitude, that it would not really trigger those kinds of emotions. So anyway, there's some very good things for people who are criers. And I'm leaving you with this because I know we have to move on. But women cry 5 to 3 times a month on the average, and men cry 1.4 times per month. And that's not because they don't have the same emotions, but they form differently. So our tear ducts are much more inclined to have tears. And so they have the same emotions. They just don't cry.
Wow, is that ever interesting?
I know. I was really, so my friend that's a crier, I'm telling her that all these things, and she was really happy because she doesn't want to cry. She's not trying to manipulate people.
Yeah. Huh.
She's just,
I like the smile thing.
Yeah, you wish.
There is a website, a dating website that pairs people by their food preferences, and it's sameplate.com. Now, this is so interesting. Their philosophy is that the couple that eats together stays together.
Okay.
Now, I think that's true. And they're talking about in a Match.com survey, there's 70% of singles said they're turned on by a date who's knowledgeable about food and wine pairings. And don't you agree with that? I mean, you know, your last person.
I'm just turned on by anybody who feeds me.
No, but you're the guy that you have dated. Yeah. It knows all that, and it's a turn on.
Well,
but anyway,
sure.
So, and same thing with Mike and I. You know, my marriage for 50 years, you know, we really like the same foods.
Well, good.
And I think that's what's made it 50 years.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. All right. So, and then here's what one of the things that we've uncovered is that there is a new African American museum in Minneapolis, and it is the Minneapolis African American Museum and Culture Center. The Roxanne Givens is the person who put this together, and she's an amazing and dynamic woman. The whole Givens family is awesome. I know them. I know them well. They introduced me to Gordon Parks, who I just totally love. Anyway, really, African-American history is American history. And we have destroyed so much of what they have added to our culture. And so we're going to be talking a lot more about that. We don't have time today, but we're going to come back and revisit that. So those are the dirty little secrets that we share with you every week. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Here at ABD, we think growing older makes you bolder, but only if you have your financial house in order. Yeah, I'm talking about estate planning, ladies. Not your cup of tea? Well, it is for Karen Schottauer at the Lohman Abdo Law Firm. Karen is the estate planning guru at Lohman Abdo. In as little as two simple meetings, she can have this stuff all wrapped up for you, so you can get back to living dangerously. To learn more, check out Lohman Abdo's free estate planning checklist online at MinnesotaEstatePlanningAttorney.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Beatty, a realtor with Edina Realty. If you're anything like me, and if you're listening to this show, I'm guessing you are, then you have some very strong opinions on buying or selling a home. Maybe you're looking to downsize or move in from the suburbs, or like about half of you, looking for a place with fewer stairs. Whatever your next move, after 25 years in real estate, I know this. Everyone's situation is different. That's why I look forward to hearing your needs and fulfilling your goals. So give me a call. I'm Mary Beatty with Edina Realty.
Welcome back to Aging But Dangerous Sizzle with Jean and Suzanne.
We're here and we're going to have a great guest today. And, you know, here's the thing with this real estate market. It's so crazy out there. Who knows what really to do in this market? I mean, should I buy? Should I sell? Should I live with my mother? Should I build an igloo? Should I reside in my car?
Okay, enough already. We get it. Oh. We get it.
Well, are we going to find out the answer to that? That's
we're
amazing.
I don't know. We'll be talking to Mary.
Well,
Mary.
She better be on. Mary,
girl.
You better be ready for all this.
We're talking with Mary Beatty from Edina Realty, and Mary has been in the business for 25 years. She's lived in Minneapolis and St. Paul, in both areas, so she knows a lot about the Twin Cities. And welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you, Jean and Suzanne. I just love the both of you. You know that.
Right.
So I'm just so excited to be part of your great show.
And we're really excited because you are one of our sponsors. And so that
I
we're
am,
very happy about
I am.
I'm
proud to say so. Thank you very much.
Okay. First question, Mary. We really, really want to know, is it a buyer or seller's market?
Well, that is an interesting question. And as you can imagine, we get that all the time. Here's the situation right now. You know, the reality of it is that the market right now really sort of does favor the home sellers right now.
Oh.
And the reason for that is that sellers can really be more confident in the pricing of their homes right now because we have so little inventory out there. Our inventory is, believe it or not, at a 10-year low.
Wow.
We have fewer than 12,000 active listings right now in the metro area. And that is really, really low. That's the lowest it's been, if you can believe it, since January 2003.
Woo.
Yeah. So that is a huge, huge contributing factor, too.
So is this in the Minneapolis area, both areas?
This is in the Twin Cities metro area.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. With that, we see low inventory and we see more buyers out there, of course, right now because of the historically low interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates low inventory, active and engaged buyers who want to buy to take advantage of the interest rates, and there's not enough homes out there for them to buy. So that is what is creating a little bit of an edge for the sellers right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary, we're getting ready to think about selling our place. What helps a home sell? What factors?
Jean and Suzanne, here's what I would love your listeners to really take away from this today. Given all the positive things that are happening in the housing market right now, we still have what we consider to be very picky buyers out there. They can, even though there's low inventory, they're still pretty picky about what they're buying, meaning that if a house is prepared well for market, you know, in good condition, not a lot of deferred maintenance, and still competitively priced for current market conditions, it's going to sell.
And how do you find that competitive price?
Well, we do what we call in the business a market analysis. And what we do with that is we take what we see in the market in terms of usually typically the last 30 to 90 days, what has sold, what has closed, and what is what we call pending in the market right now, which means it's under contract, but it hasn't closed. We also look at what are the competitive properties that the primary property would be compared to through the buyer's eyes. So we take a look at all of that, and we determine where it's not an exact science, keep in mind, but we try to determine where will this property, what price range will this property most likely fall into. When appraisers come in to do their appraisals, they're looking at the most recent comps. So trying to assign a price to a property that's a year old just doesn't work.
Well, Mary, like if I'm selling my home, should we put in new carpeting if it's dirty? I know we should probably paint.
Very, very important, top on the list, declutter. Declutter. That's the most important thing to emphasize when you're prepping your home for sale. The other factor to take into consideration is deferred maintenance. That's huge. So deferred maintenance is a big one. You know, decluttering is huge. People like to be able to walk in, be able to see, you know, mm-hmm. what's there in the home without a lot of clutter. Depersonalizing is part of that decluttering process. We like to encourage sellers to really step back a bit, take the personal photographs, the personal memorabilia, those types of things, move them out of the way, because what happens is we find buyers get very distracted when they walk into a home. They're very curious about a lot of the personal things, and that's really not what you want the buyer to be focused on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that really helps.
Cleaning carpets is a great idea.
Yeah. Are most of the home sales now in foreclosure or short sales? There's still a lot of that going on.
There's still some of it, Jean, but the reality of the market right now is that we're really seeing those, what we call short sales and foreclosures, those sales are dropping off. Traditional sales, however, are on the uptake, which is fabulous. So mm-hmm. The short sales, foreclosures are still part of the market, but not nearly as significant as they have been.
Okay, well, that's really good to hear, isn't it?
And that's not just true in our market, but nationally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are you seeing in the market right now?
In terms of traditional sales?
Right.
Well, the sales of traditional sales are home by up this year by about 57%. Compared to last year. Last year we were only at about 44% versus non-traditional sales. So that's really huge in terms of settling the market down and really feeling like the bottom of the market is behind us.
Mm-hmm. Mary, what is the status of distressed homes in our market? Is that what's happening with that?
Well, what we're seeing is lenders are much more inclined to try to work with people who are having a hard time, who are what we call underwater. They're more open to discussing short sales versus foreclosure. And a short sale would mean that they actually get permission from their lender to sell the house for less than what they owe. Mm. So what's happened is the lenders have concluded, rightly so, that it saves not only them a lot of money, but it really helps everybody to not have a property go into foreclosure. So they're becoming much more comfortable with working with sellers who are underwater to try and move that property and work with them with how much they owe versus how much they can actually sell the property for. Well, that's called a deficiency.
Well, that is great news.
Mary, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. And
well,
it's great
thank you.
To know what's going on, because it is, I am just so confused. I can hardly stand it. I mean, you know, really. I'm homeless, and I'm really not making any progress.
In a city that's diverse and dynamic, the needs of the people are equally diverse. That's why the Twin Cities rely on the Sisters of St. Joseph Ministries Foundation to urgently address the needs of those who might otherwise go unnoticed and unaided. Those who are homeless or poor, abused or uninsured. But work like this takes lots of resources from caring people like you. To learn more about the work of the Sisters of St. Joseph or to donate, visit us online at csjministriesfoundation.org.
Well, we have a new sponsor, and you're just as excited about this as I am.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
These are an amazing group of doctors, and they are a Defras and Toppin women's specialist in Woodbury. And I know we talked to Dr. Toppin in a meeting, what was it, last week? Talk about impressive. This is a woman who really understands what we as women are going through, and especially over 50 women, actually all women. And she's so knowledgeable and so empathetic, and we are honored to have her as one of our, to have the whole clinic as one of our sponsors. Every week she is going to do a little segment on female sexuality. She is the go-to authority on this, and people, she's just going to blow everybody's mind. She's amazing. So go see her if you have any gynecological issues. 651-686-6400 is the number to the clinic. I promise you will be thrilled.
No offense, gentlemen, but sometimes we gals need some time to ourselves to get things done. That's why we invented football. It's also why over 100 years ago, some very smart women established the Women's Club of Minneapolis. It's a friendly gathering spot near Loring Park where civic-minded women get together, make new friends, and make things happen for our community. Never heard of the Women's Club? Well, they've heard of us. Just mention this ad and you'll get a free brunch for two. Learn more now at womensclub.org.
We're back. It's Aging But Dangerous Sizzle with Jean and Suzanne.
And we are so, I'm so sick of talking about this. I'm so sick of talking about the prizes, the great prizes we have. And not because they're of that, but because our website. I mean, I'm sure everybody out there can relate to the fact that our website keeps just dragging on and on. It's supposed to launch. So I think we owe everybody out there an apology.
We sure do.
Because we keep saying go to our website. It's going to be up next week. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the car detailing, which is fabulous, $200, almost a $200 value, the window tinting, and the lunch with us from Tiger Sushi, and we're just going to move it into whatever the name of the next month is.
I knew you were
which slips
forget
me.
That. March.
And so as of March 1, this will be up and available on our website to sign up for, and we'll be talking about it later.
And our website will be up. Should be up next week.
Oh, I am good. Or you will find me laying in the middle of 394. And so anyway, yes.
And we want people to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/agingbutdangerous, and like us. We want all those likes to build up.
It's because you're insecure.
I know. We're both insecure.
Okay, we are so excited about what we're thinking about doing. So we are thinking about sponsoring a triathlon, a women's triathlon team.
And are we going to train for it, you and I?
I don't think so. Do you?
I don't think so either, but we know people that would be good at this.
Well, you know what I love? I love this thing that I found out. It's time to try.
There you go.
Isn't that just aging but dangerous all over again?
Yeah.
And our women our age are so fit. And so here's what the deal is. There are relay triathlons.
Which sounds good. That sounds better.
Yes. And so you don't have to go out and do all those events, because historically a triathlon is swimming. You swim for a certain amount, and the distances actually vary. And then you bike.
Right.
And then that helmet and your head all sweats.
Right.
And then you run. Mm-hmm. And so in the relay, you don't have to do all of them. You can only do one of them. And I like that.
And then you touch somebody's hand and they do the next one.
I don't know. I don't know if you touch their hand or you touch their rear or you touch, I don't know what you touch, but yes, you tag. So
tag, that's the word.
So in triathlon started in France and really a long time ago in 1920. And then they came to the United States in about 1970 in Southern California. So they've only been here since 1970.
That is amazing. That new.
It is that new. And the first one, it was at Mission Bay. It was called the Mission Bay Triathlon. It was held in 1974 in San Diego. And so now it's like considered September 25th is considered the birthday of the triathlon in the United States.
Woo.
So
that
the
is
modern,
amazing.
Kind of like the modern triathlon is, I think, the way. And 46 people showed up for that first triathlon. So it was like now there are like thousands of people. And, of course, the Ironman in Hawaii was the first one that was really a big deal that people – and it's still a huge deal. I remember someone that I did some work for was training for that, and that was just, you had to be one stud muffin.
Well, yes, and you also, but you have to be that way at the triathlon, too. I mean, that's amazing.
Well,
Michelle ran that triathlon in Chicago this summer.
Right.
That was, like, huge.
Yeah, but was that a full triathlon or a mini?
No. What do you mean full and mini? What's the difference?
Well, there are two now. This is what I have learned is that there's a mini triathlon that a lot of women do. Now, women also do, of course, the Ironman, but there are mini triathlons, and so it's really something that you can do and you can work up to a big triathlon. So I don't know. It doesn't matter. Even if she did the mini triathlon, which I think you're right. I think it was a full triathlon.
Yeah, I think it was too.
That's wonderful. Kudos to her. Yay, Michelle. Yes. But the relay triathlon, I just think that we want, well, the bottom line is we want an aging but dangerous relay triathlon team. So if there's anybody out there that's listening to this that can give us insider information, because it's really not easy to find all this, and we want to do it, but the information about it is very scarce. And I went online and I Googled the triathlons, and senior triathlons came up, and there is a gentleman named Bob Powers in Minnesota who's like the world champion senior triathlon guy, and I know him.
Oh, you do?
Yes, he's a 100 jumper horses, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know this guy.
Did you know that he was in the head of the
never
triathlon?
He was always very fit, and he's a great guy, so I'm gonna call him. But anyway,
he single?
No, stop it. No, he's a wonderful wife, and she's a horsewoman.
Sorry,
those
wife.
Are the best. So anyway, I want anyone, we want anyone, go to info@agingbutdangerous.com and email us if you have any knowledge of this or if you're interested in being on our Aging But Dangerous triathlon team.
Doesn't that sound good?
I know. I love that. It's time to try. And the first one, there's a relay whatever you call them. Well, I guess you call them triathlons. In Des Moines on August 1st, so maybe that will be our goal.
Well, and I wanted to bring up our swarm last night, Suzanne. We had such a great time. It was on permanent makeup, and it was the name of it was Wake Up Made Up. Wasn't that fun?
Yes, it was, and it wasn't last night. It was last week.
But, oh my gosh!
But
right.
Anyway, it was awesome because when you wake up and you look, you're not scary. I think that would be a good thing.
Yes, you wake up gorgeous.
Yeah. So that hasn't...
gorgeous,
oh, I
gorgeous.
Wake up gorgeous every morning. What's wrong with you?
I know you do. So. I know you do.
All right. Well, as usual, we have had a great time, and we are just really happy to be here with you. We thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us. And this has been Jean Ketchum and C. Suzanne Bates and Aging But Dangerous Sizzle, empowering, inspiring, and challenging women all across the globe.
And please join us next Saturday at 9:30. And remember, women can do anything they put their minds to, especially at this age. And that is dangerous.
Having trouble reducing your butt? That's one T, not two. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9:30 for more fervent stories and titillating topics with Jean Ketchum and C. Suzanne Bates, hosts of Aging But Dangerous Sizzle, broadcasting to inspire women over 50 around the world here on Club 1220 KLBB, where your music and memories live. Log on to agingbutdangerous.com to hear past shows and discover ways you can change your world.
If you're wondering why you just can't seem to catch up, you're moving slow because you're dragging your butt. It's bottoms up now, move on. Quit dragging your butt.
got the butt thing behind me. Now I'm working on my can.